What does the future hold for the United States? Some economists claim that the U.S. is financially sound. Others claim we're headed for bankruptcy. Are most people experiencing the fulfillment of the American dream? Or are we watching our liberties slowly eroding? Is our society entering a wonderful time of tolerance? Or, as some religious leaders proclaim, are we sliding into a moral abyss? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The United States is at a pinnacle of economic and military power, yet many Americans are experiencing a vague anxiety that something is wrong. Is the U.S. headed into economic boom or bust? Society is moving away from a Judeo-Christian worldview to secular humanist ideas and values. In this time of social change, it seems like all traditions and norms of behavior are questioned. What is the future of America? Today we're joined by Larry Greider, author of America, Renewal or Ruin, Will America Survive the 21st Century? Larry, thanks for being with us today.
Well, Gary, it's a great honor to join you today to discuss some great areas of importance to all Americans and Christians.
You know, at any time in our nation's history, a person could study the society, the government, the religious trends, and then sort of map out the future. I mean, if someone had been around in 1830, they could have begun to predict what was going to happen in the 1840s, 1850s. Any time in history, you can do that. Now, in your book, you attempt to look into America's future based on current trends. You see the United States at an important and even dangerous crossroads where our very survival is at stake.
Well, America is indeed at a major crossroads, as many scholars have noted. America has been blessed in many significant ways. A colleague of mine recently was commenting on God blessed America, referring to that as kind of a past event. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln said it best, as far as I can tell, when he said, and I quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven." Well, today we are witnessing a post-Christian movement that wants to take God out of politics and education and the marketplace. So this is a dangerous direction from my perspective, if indeed we are a favored nation given blessings and protection from above. You know, even the recent political elections recognized a cultural war is underway here in America. Perhaps the vast majority of Americans are not yet ready to jettison the values that once made us great.
You know, what do you see as the greatest dangers that face the United States today?
Well, good question. Perhaps it's apathy. Os Guinness once said Americans with purely a secular view of life have too much to live with and too little to live for. Well, we are certainly becoming a nation that is prosperous and perhaps oblivious to the major changes going on in the world. America today is a debtor nation. And our society is under stress at every turn. While I feel the vast majority of Americans are resistant to changes in our long-standing traditions, there is a growing trend to allow the vocal minority to change the landscape of our country. You know, we used to be proud that we were a nation, quote, under God, and boasted, in God we trust. Well, I wonder if these statements are taken that seriously today. The challenge of having the Ten Commandments in prominent places in government buildings certainly was a wake-up call to some who didn't realize some of the great struggles that are going on here in America.
Well, would you go as far to state that the sort of the moral and religious crisis facing our nation is even more serious than an outside threat, even the threat of terrorism?
Well, that has been true, Gary, of almost all great civilizations of the past, that sometimes it's the internal struggles that really bring the nation down. After less than three centuries, our population seems to have forgotten the culture that shaped our founding dogmas. The search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a quest that carried a much different connotation in a world that held God and community sacrosanct. You know, today these same platitudes are translated to mean ease, self-expression, unbridled carnality. Will a nation that forgets its origins, or more specifically, forgets its God, be able to thrive? You know, we have pressure from a very conservative Middle East, where militant Muslims feel that God and country need to be more closely tied together. Our country, on the other hand, whose founding was based heavily on a desire to worship God without restraint, has separated church and state. To some, this means the state should not consider God at all. How different this view is from what was originally intended.
You know, in reading your book, it's interesting. One chapter, In America, Renewal or Ruin, you deal with the approach to no religion, or I'm sorry, the approach to religion by many of the founding fathers, and how that has changed. I mean, 250 years later, the way the average person views religion in this country and what we think the founding fathers believed is quite different than what they actually believed, isn't it?
Well, the revisionist historians have actually expunged a great deal of what the founding fathers believed and taught, and actually what they even said. Although there is a quote by John Adams that I think is very important to hear. He said, and I quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." Well, I find that fascinating, that of all the groups congregating in the New World, a special band of brothers were able to so convincingly craft a vision so recognizable and acceptable for the Americans. It is inspiring that their vision still reverberates today among millions who trace their success to the values and the inspiration that came from that Bible. John Adams believed that the 4th of July should become a religious holiday, a day, as he said, when God's hand in deliverance was remembered, and a day of religious activities when men would commit themselves to him in solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Well, few today would have such confidence in the purpose and reason for the advent of the United States of America. You know, today, as I said, we lionize the men, but we don't want to hear their words, and we repackage American history into hot dogs, ball games, and fireworks at the park.
You know, it was amazing until I read your book. I didn't realize that John Adams actually wanted to make it a religious holiday. How different it is today. It's just amazing. What is America's future? We'll be back with author Larry Greider right after this.
Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're back with author and pastor Larry Greider discussing his book, America, Renewal or Ruin. You know, Larry, it seems that you can't hear a political speech by any candidate on any subject from any party that doesn't mention America's need to renew our values. I mean, it's become a catchphrase for everyone who wants an audience. Is America in a real values crisis?
Yes, it is, Gary. And I'm not the only author to have noted that. There's a tremendous genre of material out there. I have a whole collection of books that say about the same thing. Morris Berman wrote in his book, The Twilight of American Culture, and I think the title kind of indicates where he's coming from. He reiterates his case about America's cultural shift when talking about the historical processes we are witnessing is a convoluted one, because it's all of these points of civilizational collapse. It is a strangely energetic kind of collapse. Money and vitality and new enterprise circulate in American culture at an astonishing speed, and if a handful of so-called elitists want to point out that it's mostly kitsch and hype, what's that to Wall Street or Madison Avenue or, you know, the crowds at the Cineplex? One could, in other words, argue that in the case of the ancient Rome, the collapse really did look like a collapse. But in our case, it looks kind of like a renewal. And in terms of the overall globalization process, what we are seeing can perhaps be more accurately described as a large-scale transformation. But my question is, a transformation to what? A superficial vitality is hardly the same thing as a healthy culture. I thought maybe I would even illustrate that by a comparison. Seemed like Americans love to go to the movies, and often you can mark the culture by how movies treat their subject. In 1952, Gary Cooper won the Academy Award for the best actor for his portrayal of the U.S. Marshal in High Noon, whether you ever saw that
one of my movie. Favorite movies.
Oh. Well, 40 years later, another movie was produced from the same script or the same materials called Unforgiven. And it won 4 Academy Awards, including the Best Picture. And notice this, High Noon opens in the morning sunshine with a wedding. Unforgiven opens in the night rain in a brothel. High Noon starts with a kiss, Unforgiven with a slashing of a prostitute. Will Kane, the hero of High Noon, is the U.S. Marshal, if you remember. Will Mooney, the hero of Unforgiven, is a reformed killer and alcoholic reduced to pig farming. High Noon is set in the town of Hadleysville, Unforgiven in a town called Big Whiskey, whose sheriff, Little Bill, is a sadist. High Noon ends with order restored. Unforgiven ends essentially as it opens, in the dark and rain and sorrow and violence with anarchy ascendant. High Noon was about physical bravery, moral courage, about overcoming fear and fatigue, about doing the right thing no matter what the cost. Unforgiven was about weakness and revenge.
You know, here's a whole other program we have to do sometime on how movies and television both reflect society, but also they change society. There's two things happening. They, one, reflect, but two, they also change. And when you study film, you can see that over the years, how it reflects and it changes. But I want to back step just a little bit here. And maybe just to define what you mean in your book by values, because you know, the word values has become to mean almost anything. So what do you mean by values in your book?
Well, I mean a value in the context of biblical teaching. The Bible was always the final arbiter of almost any argument. Truth and value, meaning that which was stated clearly in the Bible as that which is good and wholesome and right and pure and true, those were the standards known and expected by Americans. Even the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan wrote, quote, "The amount of deviant behavior in American society has increased beyond the levels the community can afford to recognize, and that accordingly we have been redefining deviancy so as to accept much conduct previously stigmatized, and also quietly raising, quote, normal levels in categories where behavior is now abnormal by an earlier standing." Well, this is a terrible condemnation to any populace, especially one whose heritage was founded on reliance of God's truth.
You know, we're actually to the place where even the word normal is considered somehow evil, or the word deviant is considered, that's an intolerant word, and the acceptance that there is such thing as deviancy is considered intolerant. How much has public education and the public educational system contributed to this values crisis?
An amazing amount. And again, I think it is important for us to go back and remember what it used to be like in the sense, I know we can't always go back, you know, 200 or 300 years, but most people forget that most colleges that were founded in America were for the purpose of training ministers. with the exception of the University of Pennsylvania, some branch of a Christian church established every collegiate institution founded in the colonies prior to the Revolutionary War, including Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, William and Mary, Rutgers, Brown University, and the list goes on. Today, the push is on to remove God from the classroom, and the results, I think, are obvious for anyone who wants to take a look.
Now, in your book, you take a rather dim view of the entertainment industry, and I want to talk about that even now and into the next segment. How has the entertainment industry contributed to this crisis of values?
Well, again, I'm not the only one to notice that. I even remember hearing you on another broadcast quoting Judge Robert Bork in his book Slouching Towards Gomorrah, and he has a section there on entertainment. He said performers of rap music, not that we listen, maybe I'm giving myself away, but I don't listen to much of that, but he said performers of rap music don't just sing about criminals, some of them are criminals, which he says does not seem to diminish their popularity. Well, since we're talking about movies, I couldn't help but think of another movie made back in 1940, classic Gone with the Wind. I'm sure most people remember that. Remember when Rhett Butler was talking angrily to Scarlett O'Hara, and he appeared without a shirt and also used a word. And I imagine everybody listening to this knows exactly what that word was. Well, the audience was shocked. This epic movie about the Civil War was considered controversial because of the one word and the missing item of clothing on Mr. Butler. Well, today, nudity or partial nudity is normal, and the use of expletives is so commonplace that some characters would have nothing to say if curse words were deleted. Well, today, celebrity status seems to give a pass to the rich, famous, or highly recognizable people who make millions in the entertainment industry. Whether they be sports figures or actors or recording artists, if you're famous, you get to do whatever you want, and your opinion seems to matter to a large group of people. In reality, true values are true because they work for the greater good, whether you like them or not.
I want to continue this discussion about the entertainment industry. First, we have to take a break and tell people how to get their free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Larry, in the last segment, we were talking about the entertainment industry. In your book, you make a point that there is a difference, and I found this very interesting. There's a difference between celebrities and heroes. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, that's another very good question, because I guess a hero is somebody you look up to. Peter Gibbon has a book called A Call to Heroism, and he made a point in that book back in the 1920s. His thesis is that America began to turn away from traditional heroes and began looking up to entertainers. They came to believe, meaning the Americans around the turn of the century, that to be young and beautiful is better to be old and wise, and that sexuality lurks behind all behavior, and that living for the moment is preferable to planning for the future. Of course, today, celebrities are omnipresent. They give the news, they sell products, they comment on world affairs, and endorse politics or a politician. It's interesting that Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature lists 12 articles under the heading of, quote, celebrities between 1955 and 1960. Well, between 1995 and the year 2000, over 1,000 were listed. You probably realize that People magazine has a higher circulation than Newsweek, And Forbes magazine reports a multi-billion dollar industry for celebrity collectibles at Sotheby's.
And it is interesting that how much credence people give to someone just because they have a pretty face and they can act. And actors, you go back 100 years, actors were people with basically a poor reputation in society.
And sometimes they can't even act.
That's true, too. You know, many historians are already calling contemporary America a post-Christian society. Do you think that's an accurate assessment of the U.S. today?
Well, there is no doubt that we live in a post-modern world, just by the definition of what that means. But that doesn't mean everybody becomes or believes in postmodernism, which is kind of a philosophy. However, more and more are being fed the ideas that there are no absolutes and that our personal feelings are more important than what God or the Bible might reveal.
Now, in your book, you talk about, you use the term societal unraveling. Now, explain what you mean by this unraveling.
Well, unraveling just simply refers to something coming apart. The sad part for here in our country is that this has been happening in America slowly since the 1900s, and many have not realized the loss of values that were once considered so American, for example, thrift or hard work or ingenuity, and especially reliance on God and a respect for the teachings of the Bible. You know, Benjamin Franklin wrote to the president of Yale University, Ezra Stiles, back in 1790, and was trying to rehearse his creed. And he said this: "I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. And as to Jesus of Nazareth," Benjamin Franklin said, "I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, is the best the world ever saw or is likely to see." I wonder, Gary, if this is the sentiment or creed of the majority of Americans today.
You end your book asking a question after you discuss all this unraveling that's happening in our society. You ask a question: what can we do? You know, what can each individual do? How do you answer your own question?
Well, change has to happen one person at a time. I mean, each of us has an opportunity in our land, which offers us liberty and freedom, which is the dream of millions around the world, to use our time and this privilege of freedom to remember our beginnings. You know, our nation was founded by people who believed in God and credited God for the miracles that formed one of the most amazing nations in history. Abraham Lincoln, remember, had a proclamation back in 1863 asking for a nationwide day of fasting and prayer. You know, as pastors and parents or individuals are listening to this broadcast, we all need to stand up for the true values and not surrender to the mandate of those who want to remove God from our schools or our way of life. This is a time not unlike the struggle that another generation faced over 200 years ago.
Well, theirs was basically political, economic, although there was some religious aspects to it. This is even more foundational as far as the survival of civilization.
Certainly, and I think it's sad that many are unaware of the fact of cause and effect. If we are great because of our blessings from Almighty God, and we have an obligation to revere Him, to worship Him, and to live our lives to be a credit to what He's given us, then we're in deep trouble because we're kind of throwing out the most important part of the foundation of our country, our reverence for the great God.
So, America, ruin or renewal, we are at a crossroads. Larry, thanks for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.
Is America heading towards a great unraveling? You know, the Bible predicts a time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ when the entire world will experience the greatest unraveling of all time. You need to get your free copy of How to Understand Bible Prophecy by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. If you would like to hear Good News Radio programs online, just type ucg.org in the search box and click on the Good News Radio icon. All the programs are archived and available for you to listen to. And if you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, and we occasionally read the mail on the air, both good and bad, the address The address is gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.